Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is now the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race and more. Right now on the site, Weathering the Storm, what Anthony Weiner can learn from other sex scandal survivors at itsafreecountry.org. And right now, Anthony Weiner's sexting scandal in context. In his press conference, he described his relationships with these women.
Over the past few years, I have engaged in several inappropriate conversations conducted over Twitter, Facebook, email, and occasionally on the phone with women I have met online. I've exchanged messages and photos of an explicit nature with about six women over the last 3 years. For the most part, these communications took place before my marriage, though some have sadly took place after. To be clear, I have never met any of these women or had physical relationships at any time.
Anthony Weiner at his news conference. And what if, as some pundits have suggested, this isn't the aberrant behavior we expect from politicians who have sex scandals? What if for some people this is the norm? This is certainly a new area for many people, given the powers of social media. In the modern digital age, this might be part of your sex life or your relationships. Joining me is Susan Lipkins, a New York-based psychologist and a so-called sexting expert. Susan, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
What does it mean that you're a sexting expert? What do you do?
What do I do? Well, I'm a psychologist, and I've had lots of patients who sexed, but I did research on sexting in 2009 and interviewed more than 300 people about their sexting behavior.
And for people for whom this is actually maybe even a new word, talk a little bit about the basics of sexting. What range of behaviors does it include? What are we talking about?
Okay, it starts with the combination of the word sex and texting. So it's a combination of that. But it includes sending provocative pictures of yourself, videos, video chats to someone you know. It's not the same as spam or pornography. And it can be video, it can be visual, or it could be texting. And it's using any of the social networking systems, any digital technology. So from cell phone, Facebook, those kinds of venues.
And who takes part? Married people, single people, men, women?
Everybody. It's amazing. I really got very high statistics, like 66% of the population, and my population were aged 13 to 72. So people in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s are even sexting. And I find that a lot of people sext and they don't even know that they're doing it. They're just sending pictures of themselves that are provocative and not even realizing it or recognizing that that's a provocative picture. That's a semi-nude picture. You know, that's sexually explicit kind of picture. It's become so common that people don't even think about it.
So the kind of thing that Anthony Weiner did, you know, we've asked people on Facebook today, and we're going to open up the phones now. How do you see this in the context of sexual communication that people do? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Jennifer on our Facebook page wrote, any new medium will be used for sexual purposes, period. And the more immediate the medium, the more it will be used. I take it you agree with that.
I agree with that, and I think that part of what happens is it's like a tennis game, and it goes back and forth very quickly. So the sexuality is increased, and the impulsivity of the venue makes it easier to do. So, you know, we're so used to sending text messages back and forth or any kind of email, whatever it is, we expect it in milliseconds. And so the sexuality is increased, and the speed is increased, the impulsivity is increased, and your inhibitions are lowered, so you're more likely to say or send or do something online than you would be if you were face-to-face.
And in the clip that we played, Weiner called these conversations or communications. He seemed to be straining not to call them relationships. But later in the press conference, he does call them relationships. Does that distinction matter?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that they do become relationships and that it is an emotional affair, even if it's not a physical affair, and that some of these can get very raunchy and very steamy and very emotionally significant.
And certainly in terms of what constitutes infidelity, you're going to get different opinions on that. We've had a guest on the show on another matter a few years ago who said, look, even flirting with another woman, if you're a married man, is a form of infidelity. Don't even start down that path because you're already committing some kind of infidelity. Do you agree with that standard?
Oh, well, I mean, that standard might be a little bit strict, but I definitely feel that when you're sexting with people that are not your wife or your spouse and you're married, you've now stepped outside of the relationship and you're drawing your attention away from your wife or your husband. I mean, both men and women are sexting these days, and I've had patients from both, you know, who do that, and it does affect the relationship and it can ruin it.
Sexting expert and psychologist Susan Lipkins, as we try to put Anthony Weiner's behavior in context, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can tweet at us. We prefer that you not sext us, but you can text us, 212-433-WNYC on the phones, WNYC.org. On our website, click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your comment or question, or via Twitter or Facebook. Howard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I don't find what he did, I don't find it wrong. I'm 72 years old, and I still do it. I mean, the man, it has a good sex drive, and he's playing, but he's not doing anything wrong, not to resign about. He runs for mayor, I vote for him, and my wife votes for him, my daughter votes for him.
When you say not to resign his office over, but you say, when you say didn't do anything wrong, you're saying he did something wrong in private terms because he is a married man and he's sending pictures of his private parts to...
And that's between him and his wife.
So not an issue for the public as far as you're concerned, and that's your point.
If you make that an issue, what is it about? What is it about that he texted somebody about some sex?
Does it matter to you that he went before the public and explicitly lied about it?
I'm betwixt and between on that, but it still doesn't change. Look, you got that congressman with it, who's still in Congress, and he was caught with his pants down. So, you know, I think Anthony Weiner is a really smart guy. He's tough, and I think he makes a great mayor. How's that?
Thank you for your call, Howard. How about the public-private thing? Susan, there was a New York One Marist poll released yesterday. About 30% of New Yorkers responded that they think it is common practice for politicians to send lewd photos over the internet. 54% said it is unusual. So nearly a third of New Yorkers think some politicians are doing this on a regular basis. And you know, I think one of the questions that people are grappling with is this a public issue or is this a private issue?
Right. And I think that from my point of view, we expect our politicians and our public figures to have at least an equal moral value, if not a higher moral value. And so we get surprised and upset when we find that they're doing something that is either average or below average in terms of what we expect of them. And we're going to have individual, you know, opinions on that. I was very pleased to see that this 72-year-old knew about sexting, and he said he does it himself. You know, most people tell me that my numbers are out of proportion and that, you know, older people aren't sexting. So he's admitting that he sexts right there on the radio in front of everybody. So, you know, it is common, but it is something that we expect our politicians to rise above and to be more it's more moral, I guess.
One friend of mine said when she heard that Weiner's exchanges with these young women were consensual, if that's the right word, she thought, well, he had indiscretions like lots of people, but at least he's not a perv, her word, my friend first feared hearing that he sent those photos to a 21-year-old. In other words, if he sent them unsolicited, it's one thing. If they were part of a kind of a flirty or sexting exchange that both parties were engaging in willingly, that seemed to matter a lot to this Democrat.
Well, to me, there's a different point of view, and that is that when you're in your 40s and you have power and authority as he does, and you're sending it to somebody who's in their 20s, who's looking up to somebody, you know, and respecting them, that it's an unequal relationship. And in fact, what one of the main things that I found in my research was that for people 27 and older, their need or their desire, their drive to sex had to do with power, and it had to do with asserting themselves, being perhaps aggressive and wanting power, popularity. Whereas for people under that, you know, the kids who grew up in the technological era, people 26 and younger, it was merely a form of communication and a kind another, you know, another way of flirting. So that's how I feel about it.
On this question of power, this was in Maureen Dowd's column today. She wrote, when Democratic frontrunner Gary Hart had his vertiginous fall in 1987 after his photo with Miami model Donna Rice on The Monkey Business hit the papers, feminists were irate that this progressive Paul was treating women as objects. They found it especially galling that Hart had married up, winning the daughter of a former president of his college, and then got caught dating down. The Maureen Dowd continues, the weenie wiener married up to Hillary Clinton's aide, the glamorous and classy Huma Abedin, and only 11 months later got caught e-dating down with a Vegas blackjack dealer, a porn star, and a couple of college students. This time, though, concludes Maureen Dowd, no feminist umbrage rang out, and not merely because Wiener is a liberal Democrat. Women have been conditioned by now to assume the worst. Your thoughts on that, and again, in the context of the issue of power or resentment by women over, you know, somebody like Wiener texting, quote-unquote, down to a porn star?
Yeah, well, I actually have a lot to say about that. I mean, I do feel that women today have objectified themselves, and that even the act of sexting and sending body parts to men is really objectifying, and it's, you know, it is the antithesis of the women's movement and what we were fighting for way back in the 60s and the 70s and the kind of equality. And it is a sad state of affairs about women and what they expect and how they feel about themselves. And, you know, is it going downwards? Obviously it is. You know, his entire behavior to me is, you know, I do believe it's inappropriate. For a married man, it's inappropriate for a politician who's supposed to have a certain standard. And I would have wished that he hadn't, gotten involved in any of this.
Susan Lipkin, psychologist and so-called sexting expert, as we try to look at Anthony Weiner's behavior in context. Ed in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Basically, two things about this. I believe this is just a 21st century version of an obscene phone call. And people used to do it all the time back in the 60s and the 70s. It's just the moral, sexual proclivities aside, I'm not upset or disappointed in Andrew Wiener because I'm one of his constituents and I've campaigned for him on occasion. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset about what he did because your sexual activity is your business. How I look at it.
What about the lying
that's
to the public?
That's what gets to me. The audacious way he lied and denied it and what that shows about his character and what that shows about his ability to govern. I mean, you're supposed to be there handling the people's business. What you do on your own time is your business. If I work in an office. If I did that in an office, I'd be fired. You understand what I'm saying? Because
right.
I'm supposed to be there on my boss's time handling my employer's business. He's my employee. I voted him in to represent my interest. My interest is not his private parts becoming public.
But is the lying a knockout punch for you, a deal breaker for next election?
The lying is a total deal breaker. I mean, the way he lied, it's not even like he tried to pass it off. He volunteered himself to go on several cable network news stations and vehemently denied that it was him. And it just it not only shows a lack of character, it shows a lack of intelligence. I mean, come on, how can you sit up and actually tell someone that you don't recognize your own private parts? You think everybody is stupid?
I hear you, Ed. Thank you very much. Susan, once again, for many people, it seems it's not the crime, it's the cover-up.
Right. You know, it's interesting because it's men who are calling in. I'd like to hear from some female callers and hear if they feel the same way. It's a different point of view.
On our Facebook page, Sarah writes, Shouldn't we hold our elected officials to a higher moral standard than the general population? Aren't they supposed to represent our ideal? Cliff on Facebook wrote, doesn't sexting by politicians leave them open to being blackmailed? Ellen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hi.
Did we lose you already? You there? I think we're having trouble with Ellen's line. All right, let's try Gail in New Jersey. Gail, you're on WNYC. Oh, I think we're having...
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Gail. Now we lost you. Now I think we got you again. Gail, go ahead.
Hi. I really agree with the gentleman that was just on ahead of me. It's the lying. It's the thinking the American public is stupid. And no one has used the word predatory. He's being a predator. If he had some... let him behave like this. Let anyone behave like this in front of someone. I'm in construction sales and industrial sales, and there's a decorum from when I was in my 20s till this age. Everyone knows how to behave. Flirting is saying something a little silly that is not crossing the line. Let him say that in front of a woman or behave like that in front of a woman and see if someone doesn't deck him. He's chicken. He's, you know, hiding behind his position by saying he can do this, that it was his time and it was consensual. He's a predator.
Gail, thank you. Do you agree with that, Susan? Would you use that word?
I might not use that word, but I do agree with the concept, and that is what I was trying to refer to, that when an older man is doing anything sexual with someone 20 years younger, they're using their power and their authority. It's just like when a professor is flirting with a student. You know, the student isn't really able to see clearly, even if they say it's consensual. You know, they're looking up at an authority figure, and they're in awe. So I do think that there's a predatory kind of a behavior involved in this,
and
particularly with younger women.
And on this question of honesty, which keeps coming up, in the news conference, the congressman apologized tearfully to his wife for carrying this on during their marriage, but he also asserted that he had been honest with her before they wed. Listen.
My wife has known about some of these online relationships since before we were married, and we spoke frankly about them because, well, we spoke frankly about them. But she didn't know until this morning that I had not been telling the truth about whether I posted the Twitter posting last week.
So does it change your opinion of at least, you know, some of the frankness? Apparently there was enough there in the past that he felt he needed to discuss it with his wife-to-be before they got married.
Right. I wonder what discussing means. It may have been, this is what I used to do, and I'm not going to continue to do it, is what I assume she would have thought. You know, I doubt that sexting is the kind of behavior that you agree that your husband is going to continue to engage in, because it is the same as having an affair, an emotional kind of affair, and it's flirting outside of the marriage. So my sense is that what his wife actually knew and what she agreed upon and what she expected to happen once they were married is probably all very different.
You know what's interesting? You noted that the first two callers were men. There is a preponderance of men calling up to comment on this. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that men and women look at sexting differently, as they do look at sex differently. And you know, some women look at sexting as objectifying, and whereas men think it's just, you know, acceptable. And I think the same thing is true of pornography. If you start talking about porn, most men will say, oh, everybody does it. What's the big deal? You know, and I don't think that all women agree that they want their men involved in pornography or that they like it. So there's a real split between men and women in terms of how they look at this kind of sexual behavior.
Now, I think Jim in the Bronx is going to say this isn't just the same old behavior applied to a new medium, texting. Jim, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think there's a lot of unhealthiness with this entire kind of internet culture, and not just sexting. And as JG says, the anonymity of this situation that allows people's sort of worst instincts to come through. And I now am very, very restricted in my communication with people online, because I just don't like how people behave when there's no one watching them and they think they can do anything they want. That said, I completely disagree with your guest about this issue of power relationships between men and women. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a society in which women are supposed to have, you know, autonomy, make their own decisions, be self-actualizing people, and then have to be protected against powerful men. It doesn't work. And I think that's extremely, also extremely unhealthy and undesirable way to approach the issue.
Susan?
Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to answer, because I really think, I didn't say all women, I said younger women. In other words, people in their 20s are going to look at somebody, and particularly a politician or somebody with authority, their boss, in a different way than their equal. So it has to do with their social status and where they are, both in age and in power. And
I'm sorry. May
I
respond?
Go ahead. You will in a minute.
I'm a professor. You mentioned professors before. I'm a professor. I'm in my 40s. My students are 18, 22, 24. I agree with your guest insofar as you have an institutional structure in which power is unequal. Online, where people don't know each other, they don't have a power relationship within the online world, no, it doesn't apply. In a university, at work, yes. Not online. No, wrong.
But these women did know who he was. He had pictures of Bill Clinton behind him. You know, he was in his office. They knew who, you know, it wasn't anonymous, and he knew that they were in their 20s. You know,
you're saying it's consensual.
It could be consensual, but it's also we have a difference in they're not equal. They're not two equal people. Now, maybe there is an equality that happens online, you know, that you have an equal opportunity to sext or to text or to, you know, communicate with somebody. But we know that the power continues. You know, if you're sexting with the President of the United States, you know that there's a difference in your power. And you're a 21-year-old. You know, you're getting excited. My God, you know, look at who I've gotten. Look at who I'm communicating with. Just talking about them. Forget sexting about them. Just texting them would be a big deal. So, you know, I think that power relationship, once you know who you're talking to, is evident, and that it doesn't just disappear on the internet.
And Jim, thank you for your call. And we're going to do part two of this in just a second with calls only from constituents of Anthony Weiner. If you have voted for Anthony Weiner in the past, would you vote for him again after this? 212-433-WNYC. In fact, let's clear the lines of everybody else right now. We're just going to do about 7 or 8 minutes. Quick hits from any of Anthony Weiner's actual constituents, 212-433-9692. And, of course, Susan, his constituency, in a way, is national because he became such a spokesman for people in, you know, the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, if you will. And that's, I think, part of why people are in such a state of shock and grief, because Anthony Weiner had become such a symbol of their morality in the public and political sense. But on this question of men and women in power, last thought from you, and back to Maureen Dowd's column, because she wrote, we've traded places with France. There, after DSK, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a spirited feminism has blossomed. An urge to stop covering up seamy incidents of droit du seigneur, the right of place. Now we're the world-weary ones, with little energy to reform relations between the sexes. Is there any point, really, in trying to fix men? She laments.
I agree with her. Yeah, I read the column, and I thought that was a wonderful way of putting it, and that isn't it sad that we've switched places? I mean, it used to be that we expected European leaders to have affairs and that Americans were somehow at a higher moral ground, and I think she's right that we've switched places. And it's good to hear that the French women are standing up and saying no more. But I think that Americans are weary of this. And, you know, we've had this, especially in New York and New York News, the last, you know, couple of weeks, we've just had one man after another, you know, abusing their power and taking advantage of women and having sexual relationships that were inappropriate and risking their own lives. You know, that's what I think the public really doesn't understand. How come these men keep risking what they've worked for their whole life for something that seems so simplistic or not worth it, you know, not valuable? And I have a theory on that in case you'd like to know about it.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think that men in power cross over that line very frequently, and each time they cross over it, they're reinforced to do it again because they're not getting caught. So at some point, the line disappears. That line of appropriate behavior disappears, and they think that they won't get caught, and they're big enough, and they don't see it anymore. So they stop getting that feedback, hey, I'm going to get caught. This is really bad. I shouldn't be involved with this. And they just act, and they don't think about what's going on. They're impulsive. Their inhibitions are down, and they just think that they're powerful enough, and it won't count.
Susan Lipkins, New York-based psychologist and sexting expert. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And again, listeners, remember on our politics website, it's afreecountry.org. We have a piece called Weathering the Storm, What Anthony Weiner Can Learn from Other Sex Scandal Survivors at itsafreecountry.org. And for the rest of the hour, just about, 7 or 8 minutes, we'll take calls now only from people who have voted for Anthony Weiner before. Only if you live in his congressional district in Brooklyn and Queens, would you vote for him again after this? Yes, no, or maybe is an acceptable answer, too. Maybe you just need time. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call us up right now.